Greetings. This is Fred Barstein, contributing editor at Wealth Management's RPA Edge. I'm excited today to be joined by Charlie Nelson for our first episode of the RPA Edge podcast series. So welcome, Charlie.
Thank you, Fred.
Charlie is a storied veteran of the defined contribution and 401k market. He's currently the vice chair and chief growth officer at Voya Financial. He helped lead Great West into becoming one of the top five providers, now called Empower, where he was president. And he's involved in many acquisitions, which is important as consolidation heats up. And he's always in the top 10 most influential for the 401k wire. So we're really, really happy to have Charlie and talk about what's going on in the industry with the convergence of wealth, retirement, and benefits at work, as well as the massive consolidation that's happened among record keepers. So Charlie, are you ready?
I'm ready. It's exciting times. We've got a lot to cover.
Very good. You know, at the recent SPARK conference, one of the things that you said that really got my attention was there are 17 different types of benefits that are being offered at work, and usually people pick them in 18 minutes on that. And you said, you know, that's an opportunity for advisors, you know, retirement plan advisors who typically are focused on fees, funds, and fiduciary. Can you talk about the need and the opportunity and how advisors might, you know, engage in this?
Yeah, certainly, Fred. You know, as you stated, our research shows that the typical employer would offer about 17 benefits to their employees, of which, you know, usually each fall, you know, maybe November, December, you know, they might take 18 minutes to go online and click through and enroll. And some might have been even auto-enrolled, like a 401k. You know, that's less time than most people spend, you know, deciding what they're going to binge watch, which is typically on average about 45 hours a year. So, you know, it's really out of proportion. And what we need to do as an industry, and I think the opportunity for RPAs, is to really, you know, partner with employers and recognize how retirement benefits fit into the broader scheme of things. So how employees choose their benefits and how they use them is going to be increasingly important, especially when you consider, Fred, that your medical expenses or healthcare expenses, I should say, are rising two times as fast as income. And you know, it's really no wonder that people are undersaved for their retirement and healthcare expenses with this rising cost and putting pressure on things. So we got to help them make better choices between what their, you know, insurance that they're purchasing, as well as how much they're saving for the various types of savings needs that their family may have.
And Charlie, you know, how is the war for talent and employers now having to deal with more remote workers? How is that an opportunity, and how can RPAs help their clients with this?
Well, certainly it's a huge issue. I think we all see it. And it's not, you know, it's not just one item. I mean, we're in a time of, you know, rising inflation. You know, I think supply chain issues have challenged many businesses. And certainly, as you identified, labor challenges to be able to attract and retain labor in a changing workforce as employers kind of reimagine, it really puts a spotlight on the importance of benefits costs, because that's an important overall total cost to employers. And they're seeing that rise with their healthcare costs. And so they're looking for the solutions at the employer level to help them manage their overall benefit spend and help employees make better decisions across their benefits to optimize really how they view the employer's benefits on a cost-effective basis to be able to attract and retain employees. And we see this just as an increasing focus. I recently had a conversation with the head of HR and benefits for a large international, if you will, packaging company. And, you know, she articulated to me that they are having extremely difficult time attracting talent and labor. And what they're also looking at is their cost of benefits going up significantly. So if an RPA is just in speaking about retirement, I think RPAs need to be aware of the other benefits and what's on the mind of the employer that, boy, my benefits costs are going up. I'm having a hard time attract and retain. I've got inflation that's driving up my total cost outside of benefits. How do I get more out of my benefits and make a better experience for my employees so I can, you know, attract and retain those? And that's what we're seeing with a lot of employers, just an increasing focus on the total benefit spend and the total experience.
So, Charlie, what do you say to an advisor whose whole career and training has been, you know, how do we select the right investments? I'm willing to be a co-fiduciary and manage fiduciary liability and help them to manage the fees. You know, there's all this litigation going on that's focused on record keeper fees as well as investment fees and performance. How do they pivot into working on benefits? Should they partner with someone else, or should they learn this? And why is it important for them to do it if you think they should?
Well, I think it's critically important, and it's going to be increasingly important for more and more advisors who are singularly focused just on retirement to broaden their horizons, to even start with workplace savings and think of workplace savings as, you know what, maybe I'm in retirement, but, you know, that's a natural extension to an HSA, a healthcare savings account. It's also a natural extension to an emergency savings fund for individuals. People are making these choices today independently. You know, they may get auto-enrolled in a 401k, but they also have to figure out how much to put in an HSA. And oh, by the way, I've got to have some emergency funds in case something comes up at home. You know, as an RPA, you can take the first step by thinking about, and we like to refer to it at Voya as integrated savings. Think about broadening your solutions across to integrated savings to include retirement, emergency savings, and healthcare savings. And if you don't have, not part of a larger firm or have the capabilities in your own practice, partner, find some partners on the benefit side. There's benefit brokers who may provide the health coverage, and, you know, they may not want to get on their securities license or be on the investment part of the equation on workplace savings programs. So you can partner effectively with them to be able to solve an employer's total needs. We know from data research and a lot of the findings that many employers on those 17 benefits will typically use between 2 and 3 different intermediaries, benefit brokers, maybe a retirement advisor, and maybe one other advisor in the middle there to help them pick those 17 benefits. So rather than wait for one of those to kind of decide to get into the retirement and start kind of maybe inching over because the employer is interested in that conversation, think about partnering with some others or expanding your practice to add people with those types of backgrounds and experience to help you bring more to your customers.
And a lot of the RPA aggregators like NFP and One Digital and Hub and Gallagher,
they're all doing
it. They're part of a benefits firm. So if you're not going to do it, those advisors are going to come in with their partners that are part of their firm. So that's great advice on that.
No, I think that's a really important point to underscore. Because if you're not doing that, those firms that you listed, Fred, you're going to be vulnerable, I think, as an advisor, because they're going to come in with a much broader conversation with the customer and solving a broader set of needs than just simply, hey, you know, I'm doing a request for a proposal, which often is referred to as kind of, you know, I'm kind of a run from your problems. And, you know, I think what these other firms are able to do in having a broader conversation is change the RFP process to more of a run for progress, kind of making progress on your benefit cost and outcomes for individuals.
Right. And a lot of benefit brokers are going through some big issues that maybe our industry went through 10 years ago with the CAA and having to be a fiduciary and having their fees. So they would probably welcome the help and the partnership on that. So
exactly.
How I know that Voya has gotten trying to help a little bit. There's a program that you partnered with Savvy, because it's like all well and good to say help people pick the best benefits for them depending on their family and financial situation. But how do they do that? And you know, what are you doing to help them?
So at Voya, we partner with Savvy, which is a company of, you know, MIT professors and very strong data and analytics individuals that have created some algorithms to help individuals in an unbiased fashion kind of figure out how best to optimally allocate one's dollars across the various benefit choices that they may have. And so we've created and taken their algorithm and included it in a tool which we call My Health and Wealth, which is a tool to help employees make better benefit decisions. You know, should I be in the high deductible medical plan? What about this PPO? Geez, what's the correlation between the premium cost and the deductible and my out of pocket? And geez, how much should I have in my emergency savings, my HSA, and my 401k? All these decisions, they get guidance in terms of being able to kind of figure out which ones to choose so they're less likely to be underinsured or overinsured and appropriately saved across the various savings vehicles. Because as we all know, people are doing this on their own right now. We said earlier in the call, they're spending very few minutes. They kind of often just kind of reelect what they had last year, just kind of keep it going. And oftentimes that will lead to people, you know, being underprotected into what they may need or overprotected more likely. And then they won't be able to save enough for the various savings needs that they have, whether it be healthcare, retirement, or emergency.
Great. Thank you. So I want to move to a subject that's near and dear to my heart. I think yours too is record keeper consolidation. It seems like we've been covering that for like 20 years on that. So a couple of questions. Number one, it seems to be heating up now. And actually three questions. It seems to be heating up now. Why? Number two is, what are the profile, you know, of the winners? You know, because it doesn't seem like it's stopping. And what should advisors do? You know, because they're sitting in their sometimes isolated, maybe the only interaction they have with their local wholesaler. And it's very disruptive if a provider, you know, like Prudential or Mass Mutual, and they have a lot of clients with them. Remember the Hartford acquisition in 2009 by Mass Mutual was very disruptive. What should advisors be doing? So three questions in one.
Okay, so let me start with the first part of the question around kind of, you know, it appears like it's accelerating. And I would argue that it's not necessarily accelerating because the volume of transactions and activity, if you went back to the mid-90s, whether it was outsourcing or acquisitions of record-keeping businesses into the 2000s, were generally smaller firms, smaller record keepers. What's happened is there's fewer of those. And so the acquisitions, while the count is, you know, maybe about the same, they're just bigger transactions in terms of the size of the books of business. You know, when you look at kind of, I think part of your other part of your question is, you know, what's the profile of the winners? We think, and I strongly believe that there's really a couple of business models in the retirement place. At Voya, we are at scale. We believe we've been at scale for a number of, you know, and I think that manifests itself. You can see it. We're a publicly traded company. Our financials, our earnings growth, our growth in our business certainly shows that we're profitable, that we're able to take the scale that we have to reinvest in the business and new solutions like what we were talking recently or just a moment ago about My Health and Wealth. But there are other firms that I think are also challenged because they've got to find one way. You got to have more than just retirement record keeping. So are you really in retirement because you want to be able to attract the IRAs and the rollovers? So in other words, hey, I'm really in it for the 401k in the workplace so I can roll people out and put them in a retail and an IRA solution. And there are some DC providers that I think you can see very clearly that that's part of their strategy. There are some like Voya, where our strategy is the workplace, that we want to focus on helping individuals and employers in the workplace with a broader array of solutions to help them drive better outcomes, understanding the interdependence of these benefits. And so by doing that, you know, we have other potential revenue sources and fits, much like someone that might have IRA retail wealth management. So we're trying to approach it in a broader way at workplace benefits like some others. And there's many others that are also focusing at the IRA retail. But you got to kind of think about it as one versus the others. And I think RPAs need to think about what's most complementary to my business practice. Do I, do I care about someone trying to come, doing the 401k and then really having their pricing model kind of aligned around a rollover to an IRA versus, hey, I want someone whose pricing model and their strategy is really about improving outcomes for the employer, creating a better experience on workplace benefits, and helping individuals make better savings decisions. Because, at the end of the day, we know that people, when they don't have enough money to meet a medical expense or a deductible, if they don't have enough on their HSA or emergency savings, where do they go? They dip into their 401k, they take a loan, they take a hardship. We know hardships are 30% of them are for medical expenses. So, it's really important, I think, that, RPAs understand what the business model is of their record keeper, understand, which ones fit best within there. And they're, we'll see over time, we feel very strongly on what's going to be the winning long-term value prop. And that's a broader workplace strategy across health and wealth and workplace savings.
So it sounds like, advisors first need to make sure their record keepers at scale, because scale is critical.
Important.
But then understand what's their business model, what's their value prop, and does that make sense? And is that a partnership that the advisor wants to have? Because the advisor doesn't care about the rollover, then maybe that's okay. If they do care about wealth management and rollover and working with participants, and the record keeper's business model is clearly there, that might be a problem.
Fred, you said it very well, Fred. And I would just add one piece to what you said is, it's not just what the RPA's business model is, but I know most of the RPAs that I do business with and I've known over the years, they're very focused on their customer and what their customer's business model. What do they want in their benefit package? Right. Hey, do I really care if someone, in my 401k, stays with me, rolls over? Do I understand the importance of keeping assets in the plan to the overall total cost and how I can manage my benefit cost? If their clients are focused on that, that may lead them one way. If their clients are not focused on it and they don't really care, that may lead them another way. So I think it's both the RPA's business model, but also the customer's strategy.
And one last question I know I've asked this is scale critical to just even being in the market? Or do you think there is the opportunity for smaller record keepers, maybe below the, I call them the Fab Five, of which, Voya is one, and maybe with the Ascensus Newport deal, I got to come up with another name with six on that. But, below that, there's another, 20 or so national well-known record keepers. Should advisors be concerned about that? I mean, are they going to survive? Do they have a niche? What do you see?
Well, scale is important. And as I said, at Voya, we believe obviously we're at scale, but I don't think people should think of scale in a siloed way. And what I mean by that is don't think of scale solely as, hey, we're a big retirement provider. That's one dimension. Scale is also your workplace benefits presence and the relationships that you have and how you are, across both health and wealth. So scale at the workplace can be a very, very important dimension. And finally, I think one of the other dimensions I think I touched on briefly is how do you really determine scale and the benefits of scale? Scale, certainly, will drive profitability. It may drive, an expense, advantage to some companies. But I think advisors oftentimes overstate that benefit, because a fixed cost in retirement plans, as an example, is a very small portion of the total cost. Most of the costs are variable for providers. So you can overstate the importance of a scale on cost, if you will. But it's really important to think about scale in the context of what it delivers and enables a provider to be able to do broader workplace integration, investment and innovation in digital tools, more connected experiences across health and wealth, and better solutions for their employees on a profitable way. If you're not profitable, you can't invest. And so that's part of the challenge. And I always encourage RPAs to really look at, you know, how profitable are companies? Are they growing their earnings? Is it going in the right direction? And you're right. There's a lot of small ones that are marginal and, you know, really struggling. And I think there will continue to be a consolidation and opportunities. But, you know, I think as you look at many DC providers, we're all looking at how do we expand more broadly across the workplace as well.
Great. Thank you. I always tell the advisors to watch their wholesalers. If their good wholesalers are moving on a regular basis from one record keeper and then to another, that's always a sign that maybe something is going on. One or two doesn't really matter. A final question. You're at scale. Seems like you have a pretty good vision for where Voya is going. What are you doing to help advisors, you know, with their business and then also to help advisors' clients, whether it's the plan sponsors and their participants? What are some of the new plans that you have on the horizon where you're investing the next couple, 2-3 years?
Well, I love the question, Fred, because, you know, underpinning it as well is that, you know, it's very clear that COVID has changed the world together and is amplifying the importance of workplace benefits, and as well as, you know, the acceleration of consumers' digital technology behavior. And so we see that as an opportunity for us to help RPAs and other benefit intermediaries, if you will, recognize and optimize, you know, how they can evolve their practice to take advantage of the convergence of health and wealth needs in the workplace by helping them, you know, bring this together with our expertise on both health and wealth, on a range of solutions in workplace savings between retirement, HSA, emergency savings, to have that array of solutions for RPAs that they can go to their customers and be comfortable that they are with a partner that understands both integrated savings broadly, so they won't be attacked by maybe another advisor that might come in on that. And then also to even talk about it from a health wealth connection perspective. See, we really see an opportunity to cross serve. And this is not, I think some people cross serve customers is not the same as cross selling. And you can't confuse cross serve with cross selling. You don't want to confuse those. And the difference is that in cross serving, the solutions that you have and the experience, even how we work with advisors and RPAs, I should say, is designed with the understanding that the employer and the employee have multiple benefits and that they need to unlock the value in those interdependence of those benefit solutions to optimize the financial outcomes. So partnering with RPAs to help them have those tools will make the RPAs, you know, have a strong value prop with the employer by creating greater value both for the employer and employee. And we believe quite strongly the tools we've developed and what we continue to develop are going to help position RPAs to do just that.
Well, great. Well, thank you, Charlie. Thank you for your time today. Thank you for all of the hard work that you do. I know that you have a behavioral finance institute. Am I saying that right? With Professor Shlomo Bernardzi, who is also a good friend of mine and I think has made a great contribution to the industry. So thank you for supporting that. And we look forward to bigger and better things from Voya.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to chat with everybody today. Take care.
Great. Thank you. And thank you for listening to our first episode podcast for RPA Edge, for wealthmanagement.com's RPA Edge. This is Fred Barstein signing out.